Welcome to the Making Connections podcast with your host, Spencer Raposo. This podcast was made to interview current registered kinesiologists in Ontario and talk to them about what they do and where they see the future of the profession going. The goal of the podcast is to get a conversation going about kinesiology as a regulated health profession in Ontario. Each episode, we will bring on a new guest with loads of experience as an RKIN that will share their story and any advice for any new RKINs and kinesiology students about current opportunities in the field. In this episode, I interview Sarah Snaple, registered kinesiologist, certified professional ergonomist, and co-owner of Pro Ergonomics. Sarah co-founded Pro Ergonomics, an ergonomics consulting firm which was established in 2013. She has more than 14 years of experience working as a consultant and as an in-house ergonomist and ergonomic specialist. Sarah holds a BSc in kinesiology from the University of Waterloo and a certificate in environmental and occupational health from the University of Victoria. In this episode, Sarah tells us how she fell into an ergonomics role, the process to become an ergonomist, and the stigma still associated with being a kinesiologist.
Hi.
How's it going today?
Good, thank you. How are you?
Good. So I just want to welcome you to the Making Connections podcast and just say thanks for coming on the show today.
Thank you. I'm excited to be here. What a cool idea for a podcast.
Yeah, no, definitely something that I wish was available when I was kind of out of school. So I hope this kind of brings a lot of value to any current RKINs or even some kinesiology students that are tuned in.
Yeah, absolutely. I get a lot of questions. A lot of people want to know about how I got into the field that I got into. And so this is kind of a really cool use of today's platforms, right? It's very cool.
Yeah. No, awesome. These conversations are being had with people and it's just a way to kind of share it so everyone knows. So let's get the conversation started and kind of begin with letting the listeners know how long you've been an RKIN for. And then kind of from there, starting from the beginning, let us know about your background story to how you got to where you are now.
Sure. I've been an RKIN since it was incepted. I think whenever the registered kinesiology designation happened, I think 2012. So I was grandfathered in. I graduated with a kin degree from University of Waterloo in 2006. So I had already been working in the field for a little bit and was grandfathered into that designation. Background in terms of how I even got to there was sort of, you know, a bunch of happy accidents, I think is how I would say. I'm somebody who's always looking for opportunity. And so I can't say that it necessarily just fell in my lap, but I had been exposed to kinesiology in my in high school, I guess it was called phys ed technically, but it was basically an intro to kinesiology. It was anatomy and it was coaching, and I had kind of been pursuing or thought about pursuing more of a science degree. I wasn't really sure, but as soon as I took that class, I kind of was like, aha, it was my aha moment of this is it. I love science and I love learning about physiology, but this is like physiology and anatomy of just humans, which is, you know, the ideal for me. I knew a couple of people who were in kin a year ahead of me, some friends, and they were raving about the program. And so, you know, that's kind of how I chose that route. And
I remember us talking about how you were really interested in biology. And that was something too, that like, it was just like a science of the human body. And then it kind of stemmed from there.
Yeah. And so it was kind of like, oh, like, yeah, like learning about plants and animals is interesting too. But I mean, I really like learning about how the human body works. And this is essentially a course that really just focuses on humans. And I was super intrigued, right? So that's when I started my search on kinesiology. I kind of just decided it's kinesiology. That's what I want to learn about. That's what I'm going to do. I didn't know what school. I didn't know all the specifics about my career path, but I just knew that that class I loved. And I needed more.
Awesome. So after that, you went to school and then you continued to get your certificates at the University of Victoria, correct?
Yeah, I did. Well, I did. I went to University of Waterloo for kin, and I did the co-op program there. So I kind of dabbled in a couple of different jobs, not all ergonomics jobs. I mean, that's where I've ultimately taken my kin degree, is to ergonomics. But I did some teaching assistant jobs, and I did some coaching jobs. I volunteered in the clinic, in the physio clinic, because I mean, I think, like many people in first year, I was one of the many, the hundreds, who all wanted to be a physiotherapist. That's kind of what I had decided on. Things changed. And I didn't pursue, I did do a certificate at the University of Victoria, but not until after I was done school.
Oh, okay.
That was more of a, it was more of a, what am I going to do with my kin degree? And more, that was more when I was at a turning point of, am I continuing on with ergonomics, or, you know, what am I doing? But I think all through university, I had thought that I needed to be involved with people. Lots of different, like, I need to be involved with people. I needed to be helping. I needed to be teaching. I just didn't know what that job looked like. I had heard about ergonomics. You know, somebody had come to our biomechanics class, and an upper year student had come to our class, and she was talking about, you know, what she was doing, working in, she was working in a factory somewhere. But in my mind at that time, all I heard was factory. And I thought that ergonomics really only was in a factory. And it just, you know, I kind of glazed over, because I was like, oh, that doesn't really sound like what I'm that interested in. Like, I don't know that factory life is for me. But as it turned out, I accidentally fell into an ergonomics job in my co-op experience. If you're familiar with the co-op process at Waterloo anyways, is that they have rounds, right? So everybody goes for interviews, and you get a job potentially in the first round. And if you don't get a job in the first round, then you kind of got to go to the second round, right? See what jobs are left over, if new employers have come. And so there was one time around the middle of the, I think my third term, I didn't get a match in the first round. And so I had to go to second round, and I was super lucky that Toyota actually needed a second ergonomic student. They'd already hired my friend, and they evaluated their project. They needed a second one. And I was, you know, I needed a job. And I thought, okay, you know what, I'll give it a try. Anyways, turns out I loved it. So it was, that's where the sort of like that happy accident, right? Like, it kind of sucked that I didn't get a match in the first round, but you know, it worked out in my favor. And I got to, that was my first job experiencing ergonomics. And it was kind of the moment where I was like, okay, like I don't have, maybe I'm not pursuing physiotherapy anymore. And it was another kind of like a turning point, I guess, in school, where I was like, I have some more options to consider here, because I only have a couple of co-op terms left. What else do I want to, what else do I want to try? Like, where can I take this? So, and my next co-op, like after that, I enjoyed working at Toyota. I liked the ergonomic aspect. I definitely, there were some elements of it that I didn't love. Again, it was factory work, and it was sort of rigid. And my next co-op job, I actually got a job at Hamilton Health Sciences. So I was still doing ergonomics, but it was for a family of hospitals in Hamilton. And it was very different. So it was still ergonomics, like still very similar to what I had been doing, except that it was more diverse, because in a hospital setting, there are way more styles of jobs. And so that job in particular was eye-opening. It was the pivotal moment, or the decisive moment, where I decided that ergonomics was totally what I wanted to pursue. Because if I think about all of the things that I had sort of been looking for, maybe I didn't necessarily know exactly what I wanted to do in a career, but I knew things that I liked, right? I'm passionate about teaching, right? I like to teach. I like to educate. I like to talk, sort of in those senses. I like to problem solve, like objective thinking. I, again, had originally thought about going into a science role. So I do like objectivity. I like helping people. And all of this was happening in that role in the hospital setting. Yeah. I was writing objective reports. I was meeting a ton of people. I was seeing a ton of jobs, you know, from nursing to kitchen staff, to housekeeping, to office staff. You know, I was kind of learning about the inner workings of a hospital. But the main thing really is that it was hitting all of those boxes. I wasn't necessarily doing the exact same thing day in and day out. using the same principles, though. I was absolutely using everything that I had learned in school, but it was satisfying my teaching need. It was satisfying my problem solving need. It was solving my need to have variety from day to day. And yeah, and that was, I mean, that was the game changer for me. I was like, that's it. And I ended up doing two terms there. I liked it so much that I finished off my co-op terms there. Yeah, I also worked with an amazing team of people there, which
it's
probably another side thing is that that it really helps to have amazing people to work with that that inspire you and kind of make work fun, right? That make you see your job differently.
No, that's an awesome story in that you were able to stay there the two terms, that so that really solidified like your choice, and that you found that it was really a good placement and a good team that you worked with.
Yeah. And I mean, there's something to be said for making networking and making connections. You know, we always talk about in the working world that, you know, you got to network. And sometimes it's hard to do that, but, or you don't necessarily know how to do it. But in this particular case, that was my networking was I stayed in touch with those people. I worked with them for 8 months. I went back to school and finished up. I had two academic terms to finish up, and I kept in touch with them. Like I had gone on a trip and I would email people from that I used to work with there regularly. And you know what, when it was come time to graduate, they created a new position. They were creating a new position and told me to submit my resume. So it was amazing. I got a job with them, with one of my co-op employers, my favorite co-op employer, right fresh out of school. Like, you know, I graduated in
That's
April
awesome.
And May I started working there. So I was working in my field, you know, the month after I graduated, with a team that I was already familiar with, that I already liked, in a role that was, it was slightly different because obviously I wasn't hired as a student, but it was, it was good. Yeah. I mean, that's luck or working towards your goals. I'm not sure. Right. Like, I mean,
I think, I think it's a mixture of both for sure.
Probably. Yeah.
Like you obviously were lucky in terms of being able to have such a good team in placement, but I'm sure at the end of the day, like you being mixed with being a hardworking student too, they saw the value in you and wanted to bring you on fully.
Right. Absolutely. I should probably not be as humble about that, but right. I do think that I was a hardworking student and I had a great team. And I mean, the luck part comes up where they happened to be able to create a position at that, like the timing was impeccable, right? You couldn't have planned any better. That was definitely a bit of luck. But at the same time, if I hadn't been looking, if I hadn't been maintaining those connections, it wouldn't necessarily have been me that they reached out to say, hey, submit your resume, you know? So it is, that's the networking for me, and the making connections and people are really important. The team that you work
no,
with
that's,
is really important.
Yeah. No, and that's another point I want to reiterate it to any of the listeners is like making sure to still continue to network and kind of make those connections with even any previous employers, volunteer people, because you never know, opportunities pop up all the time and you can just be at the right place at the right time. And that's how like a lot of people get their jobs. It's about who they know and the right place at the right time.
Right. And it's hard. You're right. It's hard to plan that too. Right. So if you're not looking for opportunity, you'll never see it either. I mean, that is something that I say often, is that in some ways people will say, oh, you're so lucky that, you know, you got a job in your field, or you're so lucky about, you know, something else. But ultimately, like I was looking, right. And if you're not looking, you won't see it. So, you know, it's not that I was looking to. Yeah. I mean, if you're not looking, you won't see it really. That's the bottom line.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So from there, you worked there for, I think here it says like around 2 years, so a little bit over 2 years, and then you kind of moved on to your next role, if you kind of can discuss about that one.
Sure. Yeah. So again, I'm a very goal-oriented person, right? So I always want to be working towards something, and it doesn't, you know, I'm not necessarily hard on myself about it, but it's just, you know, to give yourself some point, right? Or some drive, you know, so I was there to pursue ergonomics. I had thought about doing a master's or something straight out of school, but ultimately I wasn't really sure. You know, I didn't want to commit to more school until I knew what I wanted to specialize in. So this
For
job
sure.
was absolutely, I had told myself, you know, give it 2 or 3 years. I wanted to pay off student loans. I wanted to, you know, get my feet wet in the working world. And after 2 years, I kind of came to that point where my student loans were close to paid off. But things were changing at Hamilton Health Sciences as well. There was some organizational changes going on, and the team that I loved so much was also changing. A lot of them were leaving.
Yeah.
So it was my evaluation time, right? So it's like, okay, am I staying in ergonomics? I'm like, well, I love ergonomics. I really do. But where else, you know, should I look for something else? Can I look for another role within Hamilton Health Sciences? Can I go elsewhere? And if I'm going to go elsewhere, like this, this would have been 2007, 2008, probably. There's not, even today, even still, there's not, there's more jobs now that are, you know, directly or 100% ergonomics, but it, at that time there was even fewer jobs that were ergonomics. So that's when I started my certificate in environmental and occupational health. So that's a distance ed program, like a health and safety type program through University of Victoria. Some friends had recommended it, and I figured that I really wanted to pursue ergonomics. I wasn't sure that I was ready to go back for a master's. So I went with this because I thought, you know what, this way I can stick in ergonomics, but I would have some safety education on my back. And I figured that would make me more marketable, essentially, in on my resume, right? So I was pursuing that. But also, ultimately, I was like, you know what, I really do want to do ergonomics. Like, I can't see myself doing something else. I don't want to start over, go back in, you know, going back to that physiotherapy role, which was still one I was considering. And I wanted to get my professional designation. I figured, you know what, if I'm going to go ergonomics, I want to be a certified professional ergonomist. And so I looked up all of the criteria. What did I need to get there? I was pretty sure my education was going to be okay, but I submitted an application. So you submit like a, almost like a precursor application, to become an associate ergonomist. They look at all your education and approve that. And I figured, well, I got to do that, right? I got to try. And they'll tell me if my education isn't up to par for what the qualifications are, then I'll know that I need to go back to school and figure that out. But you know what? I got approved. I became an associate ergonomist and I sought out, a new role. And so that's where I moved from Hamilton and took a consulting job actually, and was super excited because the owner of that company was a certified professional ergonomist. And I thought, who better to learn from, right? That's what I want to, that's what I'm trying to get to. Right. So I had, I had another amazing team there. But it was very different. Consulting was very different. I worked from home all of a sudden. As much as I loved variety, the variety was very different. Like there was a lot of differences every day, right? You know, one day I'm going into my, I think one day I would go into like a hospital. The next day I might go into, I think I went into like a meat processing plant and then a pharmaceutical place. Like it was very different and it took some adjusting to, and I loved it. Like I really, really loved it. And it, like, honestly, it just further solidified my love for ergonomics because I was applying it in just more detail. I was more in depth about everything than I had been doing. And always working towards my professional, I was trying to get this, the CCPE designation, Certified Professional Ergonomist. And so I was building a portfolio, right? The next step to getting that designation is submitting a work portfolio. So yeah, I continued on with consulting, made a lot of amazing connections, loved the team that I worked with. And then once I got my designation, I guess that was also, again, a turning point. Again, for me, I'm goal-oriented. I achieved that goal. And it was now, it was a now what? An amazing opportunity came up. It was a one-year contract, but it was with the city of Mississauga. And I took it. I thought, you know what, when am I else am I going to get this opportunity? You know, it's only 1 year. And that sort of seemed risky because I had a full-time job. But but the job was incredible. Again, an amazing team. I'm always looking. I guess that's the thing, is that I wouldn't have accepted a job if it wasn't amazing people too, right? You gotta like the connections in that interview. And it sort of reminded me, right? I was an in-house role, so I was doing ergonomics and I had the variety and meeting a ton of different people, seeing a lot of different jobs. Like that is really the beauty of ergonomics, is you're watching a lot of people work. Right. I get to see a lot of jobs out there, and it was, you know, hitting the mark there. For me, it was a bit of a commute and it was a 1 year contract. So I was still looking, right? As much as I took that position, I was always still looking for the next thing. Talked with some of my teammates that had worked with previously, And they were sort of in a similar boat about like, hey, you know, kind of a what next? And we decided as a trio that we would start our own consulting company. It's kind of a crazy,
that's awesome.
Kind of crazy thinking back on it about how that transpired, but it was the best decision. So that was February 1st, 2013. We started up Pro Ergonomics, which is our own, a three-way partnership, our own consulting company, Ergonomics. And it happened to coincide. It sort of started up baby steps because I was still finishing up that contract at the City of Mississauga. But yeah. Which worked out perfectly, right? Like that was a one-year contract. Mm-hmm. Always when you start a business, things are slow, but it was really the best of all of the worlds, right? I loved consulting. I love the variety. I love ergonomics. I wasn't really sure how to run a business, but I figured that, you know, I'm teachable, yeah. Right? And I'm willing mm-hmm. to learn. And I had some great partners, right? I mean, I wouldn't have done that with anybody else. Yeah. You know, you gotta
no, that's
the
awesome.
Right people. So that's what I've been doing since 2013.
Wow. That's mm-hmm. awesome. And I see that you guys are doing well, and that's you guys been looking to pivot and change different things based on stuff now yeah. Because of COVID.
I know,
right?
That's and
we
so
chatted
hard
about
to,
that's a little bit different.
So hard to, I mean, we couldn't have predicted this necessarily like from a business perspective, but yeah, we do a lot of training. We do a lot of on-site, most of our business is on-site, right? We do on-site assessments. We do on-site training. And so with COVID, obviously, we've had to scale back on the on-site. We're not doing any on-site, but we're doing a lot of virtual mm-hmm. assessments. So we're doing some virtual assessments. We're doing some virtual training. You know, mm-hmm. again, you got to adapt.
Yeah. So along those same sort of lines, I know you just spoke there briefly about what you're doing mm-hmm. now, but in the pre-COVID world, I want you to kind of explain what you kind of would do on a day-to-day basis. I know we can read your description on LinkedIn yeah. and kind of say what you do, but how would you describe kind of like a day in the life of kind of your work at Pro Ergonomics?
Sure, yeah. So each day would be a little bit different, but ultimately it would be either going to a client and doing some consulting work or working from my home office, writing up the reports. And so because I'm a co-owner, I would have some extra responsibilities too about, you know, managing projects, invoicing, those kinds of things. But for the most part, mm-hmm. it's on-site work and then writing up a report. And our on-site work could look like a variety of different things. It could be, you know, we do a lot of work. Our company in particular right now is we work with over 40 Ontario municipalities, and we're doing a bunch of different work mm-hmm. for them. But I love working with municipalities because there's so many different jobs within there. But I would be essentially watching a lot of people work. I would be doing physical and cognitive demands assessments, which is documenting the physical and cognitive demands of a job. It's very objective, right? So I'm watching somebody work and then trying to basically figure out or quantify the physical demands of their job. You know, how much do they lift, how often, what is it, from which heights, and trying to break
yes
to a form. Basically I'm trying to write it, condense it onto a form, make it user friendly, right? Those types of documents are often used for return to work or managing injuries, like injury claims. Those are most often mm-hmm. uses. So I would do a lot of our team in general. We would do work like that. We would also do risk assessments, like an ergonomic risk assessment would be going on site, looking at a job, identifying hazards. So things that could cause a musculoskeletal disorder, right? Your strains and sprained chronic injuries.
Mm-hmm.
So identifying hazards that could be causing that and trying to develop some recommendations on how they can mitigate or reduce that risk. So a lot of work is done on site, trying to understand the job, take measurements, lots of pictures, sometimes some video clips, interviewing people. And then back in our office, we are now kind of summarizing all of that into a document that we can present to our client that kind of gives them an idea of which task or which elements of a task are the higher risk, and then how they can go about making that more suitable for more of their workers. So physical demand, like PDAs, CDAs, ergonomic risk assessments. We do office assessments too, setting people up at computer workstations. Often, I would say often actually people think that when I say that I do ergonomics, most people immediately think about setting up a computer workstation.
100%. Yeah.
It's actually a pretty small portion of our job. Like if you look at project wise, it makes up probably less than a quarter of our overall work. But it is super important. It's actually something that I get a lot of fulfillment from doing because it's a project that you go in, you meet one-on-one with a person, you help adjust things at their workstation, and then they feel better almost immediately. So you get like an instant sort of gratitude. Yeah. You get that helping feeling. And we do a lot of training. Like that's actually a lot of what our work is right now with COVID, is that we've shifted and we're doing like our percentage swings are way different right now. We're doing a lot more office ergonomics because so many people are working from home on a laptop and you know what? They're not comfortable. So that's where we come in trying to help them get more comfortable.
That's awesome that you guys are able to kind of pivot and change and still be able to help out your kind of customers and
yeah, as much as anything can. Yeah, we've got an interesting program right now called at home ergonomics, right? So it's still trying to rely on principles, right? We rely a lot on the CSA office ergonomics standard, and you know, I always say that I'm still applying the same principles. It's just that how you do it at home versus how you would do it in a cubicle setting are going to look different, right? In a cubicle setting, your employer is going to provide you with all of this equipment at home. Because it's only temporary too, we have to get a little bit more creative, right? But the principles still remain the same. I still want you to work with neutral postures. You just might need some pillows or shoe boxes down.
Textbooks.
Yeah, a textbook. You can finally put all those old textbooks to use. Yes.
Yeah. Awesome. So one thing that we chatted about before in our previous phone call was how important how you use your ARCN designation as an ergonomist and how that has a mutual beneficial relationship together.
Sure. So the ARCN is an interesting one because when it first came out, I actually thought, do I need this? Because I'm an ergonomist. And the thing with kinesiology is that it's broad, right? I mean, anybody who's pursuing kin or who's in kin knows that it's quite broad, right? It's, you can go into a lot of different things with it. A lot of people will use it as a springboard to go into another profession, right? Or maybe do a master's in something else. And so I did actually consider about whether or not it was worth it. But ultimately we went ahead with it because we wanted to be part of a regulated health body. We had designed our company, we'd come up with a name that we were called Pro Ergonomics, that we were professionals. We were all certified professional ergonomists. And so it was really important for us to kind of make sure that we were crossing all our T's, dotting all our I's, and having that. With ARCN comes that sort of, not prestige, prestige isn't the right word, but like that, like knowing that you belong to a health body that is sort of protecting you. There's insurance that comes along with it. And I will say that when I first applied and got, you know, grandfathered in, that the first few modules, you know, you've got to do some learning modules with the college. There was very little focus on ergonomics. And with that came some eye rolls from me because I thought, oh goodness, like, you know, but you know what happened is that really early on in our business, we had people calling, you know, asking for quotes and wanting to know more. And I would always, you know, spew first, oh, well, we're certified professional ergonomists. And in particular, I had this one client call who was like, okay, are you, what else? And I was like, well, we're also all registered kinesiologists. She's like, oh, okay. Yeah. I can work with that. And I was like, okay, I've got to ask you, like, what you're asking for an ergonomic assessment. Why was the registered kin more intriguing to you than the certified professional ergonomist designation? Yeah. Because in my mind, like, you know, it should have been the other way. But she said, you know what, we have a list of we have a list of health professionals, right? Types of health professionals that we can automatically approve. And a registered kinesiologist is on there. So as soon as you say that you're a registered kinesiologist, I can check that box off and move on to asking you the next question. And So that was a really interesting conversation very early on. That has come up several times, actually. That just happened to be the first one that was the really the biggest eye-opening one for me, and really one that made me think, okay, you know what? I am getting a lot of value out of this. And over the years, I will say that the college has increased and diversified their questions and support for ergonomics as well. Again, if you kind of
I think that that's getting a lot bigger.
It totally is now. And it's the very first module that I did, I was like, I kind of remember glazing over thinking, this is so clinical, it doesn't really apply to me. But the last module that I did right now, over a span of 7 years, I thought, you know what, they're doing a lot better, right? A lot more of those questions were related to me, or they worded them in a way that were more generic. I think realizing and acknowledging that kinesiology doesn't just happen in a clinical setting, right? And it's not just ergonomics that wasn't necessarily included, but kinesiology happens in more than just a clinical setting. And so I do really appreciate the college in their growth. I think there's still some room to go. And maybe, I don't know, I was kind of thinking about that too. I was like, well, where would they grow? And I'm wondering if maybe there would be more of a relationship or something between the College of Kinesiologists of Ontario and the ergonomics designations. And I'm not sure if other, I'm not sure if other health professionals sort of feel the same, if maybe, or maybe there is a lack, or maybe there's better communication in other fields, you know, but just to.
I know what you mean. I think I read something where there was something about the athletic therapy and kinesiology kind of being associated together. And I can see that. Right. But I also could see the same with ergonomics. Like if it's under the same sort of thing, that you be an RKIN, and then from there you expand to a specialty. So whether that's athletic therapy or that's ergonomics or that's clinical or whatever. Yeah. So I definitely could see something like that happening. And I think that would be important to kind of really push that kind of regulated health designation first, the ones that people are looking for, and then specializing from there. So awesome.
Ultimately, it's about a professional. Really... It's for us, it's professionalism too, right? It's the insurance that comes with it. It's the recognition, right? And I will also say that the recognition, the more people that are recognizing that a registered kinesiologist is a regulated health professional, is that is growing as well, right? It was brand new, right? This only happened in 2012, I think, is when the college was born. So you know, it's come a long way. And I'm excited for it to continue growing, because as much as I maybe gave it an eye roll at the beginning, that is not my attitude anymore. I'm very appreciative of it.
Awesome. So with that in mind, I want us to kind of chat about kind of your overall experience so far now as a registered kinesiologist in your role. And I guess it's more of an ergonomic stance, but looking at that.
Yep. So for us, it's 100% ergonomics. We don't do a lot of clinical, and I actually don't really work a lot with, as much as I do work, you know, one-on-one with a person, I'm not doing any diagnosing. I'm always in the workplace, and I would be helping a person, but not necessarily that they might tell me that they have carpal tunnel, for example, but I don't diagnose. I don't support that. I don't refute that. Ultimately, if they are telling me they have carpal tunnel, I'm sort of treating it as like generically wrist pain or wrist discomfort. And I'm looking at the job or ways to help them to get more neutral. Right. And I'm not just focusing on the wrist, but I'm focusing on a whole body approach to getting them more comfortable at their workstation. Again, whether it's an office or, you know, a manufacturing line, it can apply.
For sure. So I know you touched base kind of about the kind of the future kinesiology there, like hopefully kind of combining the ergo and the RKIN sort of together. But where do you kind of see the future then of kinesiology going? Because especially like you said, you saw at the beginning, it was kind of more general, more clinical. It's kind of started to expand with a lot of stuff like in ergo and other areas. I wanted to just get your take on where you kind of see the future of the profession going from your perspective as an ergonomist.
Sure. I'm not sure if I see it going there or if it's where I want it to go. I want kinesiology to grow to be more independent. Not so independent in the sense that, like, I like what I do as an ergonomist. So something that is important to me is having independence, freedom, choices. And sometimes what happens mm-hmm. in kinesiology is that you're working under someone. And I do know that that's changing mm-hmm. a lot too, but that's where I would like to see yes. kinesiology grow. If we're a regulated profession and we're a regulated health professional, then we should be decision makers. And I think that there's still, in some ways a bit of a stigma that if you're a kinesiologist, you're working under someone. Maybe it's a physiotherapist or, you know, and I'm not knocking any other profession, but sometimes kinesiologist is that sort of the stigma is that, or that you take a kinesiology degree and you can't do anything with a kinesiology degree. You've got to go to more school, right? There's a stigma that, you know, I've done mm-hmm. my 4-year undergrad and I can't get a job in my field that doesn't pay more than minimum wage. And so I would like to see kinesiology grow more than that. You know, the kinesiology program at all of the schools, the education that we take, it's amazing. We do know the inner workings of the human body. And I would really like to see the kinesiology profession grow and make more people aware of it. You know, like it's, I know, mm-hmm. I know sure. me when I said I was going to go to kinesiology and kind of the response I got was, well, what are you going to do with that? And I was like, I don't know.
Yeah. What are you doing?
And I'm not really sure. Like, I'm like, I just know that I like learning about this. Yeah, and if yeah. I like learning about it, then I'm going to be able to find a job that I like. And that was, and I was very stubborn with that mindset and I'm happy that I was, but it can be overwhelming, I guess. If you go into kinesiology and you're like, oh, I'm not going to be able to get a job right out of there. I'm going to have to go and do a master's to, you know, I know a lot of people from my schooling who use their, some people use their degree right out of school. A lot of people went on to do more schooling. I know people that I graduated with that went on to do chiropractic, massage therapy, pharmacy, occupational therapy, mm-hmm. physiotherapy, speech language pathology. Like it can be a springboard for a lot of other things as well, but there are, and it's not just ergonomics that, you know, that you need to, a lot of people do a master's and then go and do a job in ergonomics. It's not just ergonomics where you know, you don't need to do more schooling. There are some other things. So I would just like to see the kinesiology profession, just keep strengthening. Like I want it to be stronger and mm-hmm. I want people to feel really proud when they say that I'm a kinesiologist, and I want people to know, mm-hmm. I want the world to know what a kinesiologist is. And I want people to feel proud when they say that that's what they are.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's a conversation I always have it with all the guests here around this part, is kind of having that unified kind of outlook, saying that being proud to be a kinesiologist and that the public and people are aware of what they're able to do. And that's one thing that I think in terms of like branding going forward is that there needs to be more advocacy for the profession. And that's one thing that I'm trying with this podcast, is trying to just spread the word of kinesiologists, what they're able to do. So maybe even some students are a little bit more aware, because I know when I was in school, or even right now, I'm still trying to figure out what I'm going to do. Am I going to continue as a kin? Like what other things are out there? So this is like a good way to kind of help get the word out that kinesiology and being a kinesiologist is a thing that people are doing.
You're right. It's absolutely that, right? It's that being a kinesiologist is a thing, and there is lots that you can do with it, and nobody should really feel stuck. And you know, you've spent all of this time becoming a kinesiologist, and now, I mean, you also need to always be exploring your options. So I see, even though you're saying like, I'm trying to think about what's next, and you never necessarily, mm-hmm. like I would hope that, you know, abandoning the kinesiology field is never a thought. I don't think I ever thought about abandoning kinesiology. It's always been the core. I loved my program. I really did. There was, you know, some classes mm-hmm. I could have done without, but there was a lot of classes that I was really interested in. And I don't know that I would have mm-hmm. said that about any other program that I might have taken, right? I'm super happy with my choice. And just, I mean, you always need to be looking for opportunities. And I think even the advocacy thing is a good thing that I probably should work on a little bit more too. I know that my attitude has changed over the years. Again, I mentioned the eye roll till now, and just supporting, mm-hmm. but supporting that, right? You know,
Yeah.
So I'll share your podcast for sure, because honestly, this podcast is absolutely, this is essentially what I was trying to do or kind of had been doing sort of in my co-op jobs, right? But not every school offers co-op, and not every student necessarily had the luxury of different jobs. Like a lot of people did co-op jobs and got very similar co-op jobs every time because that's what they had experience in. And I will say that I was sort of lucky. I had teaching assistant jobs. I had ergonomics in a factory. I was a camp counselor, like at a sports camp. And I worked at the hospital doing ergonomics. I was essentially being exposed to a whole bunch of different jobs and different ways that I could use my degree, which is, you know, I guess a bit of a privilege, right? That I was very fortunate that I got exposed to that. I get asked a lot of questions actually about how I got here. And so I'm always welcome. I mean, I'll kind of make that note too, is that if anybody who's considering kin, anybody who's in kin and considering other options, if you want to chit chat any further with me, I'm always willing to share, because I know that that's how I've come to where I'm at, is by talking with other people and, you know, other people giving me an opportunity. Right.
For sure. No, and I'll definitely make sure at the very end, and when I post this this interview and this talk, that to link any of your contact information, whether that's your email, whether that's your LinkedIn, and kind of go from there. But this kind of leads us into the end of the podcast here, where you kind of just talked about that there, looking at any advice for any potential kinesiology students that are kind of figuring it out, thinking about writing the exam, or are new Arkins and kind of saying, okay, I have this designation, what can I do now? So any words of advice to kind of finish off here?
I will very openly say that I didn't write the exam, so I can't give anybody any advice about that. But in terms of general advice, I would say stick to what you like. What do you like learning about, right? And that might even be if you're early on and you're considering kin as an option, and you like learning about it, it might be the perfect option. You don't necessarily need to know what kind of job you want to do. Or same if you're already in kin. And I know at Waterloo they had different streams, right? I could take the general kin, or I could take neuro, or there was an ergonomics option as well, which I didn't fully do. But stick to what you like learning about, right? If you like learning about something, a very specific topic, and you take more classes in that, and hopefully it will lead to a job or connections, right? If you're excited and you're passionate about something, it won't feel like as hard of work. And other people will notice that. They'll comment that, you know, they'll see your passion, and it might open some more doors and opportunities for you. I commented a lot today about teams that I've worked with and people that I've worked with. So, you know, if you're in a job or taking classes in subjects that you like, and you're working with people that you like, it's going to make work and opportunities a lot easier. So you got to find that balance, right? You want to like the work that you're doing, and you want to like the people that you're working with. And it's really hard to stick with anything if you don't really have that balance, right? You might love the work that you're doing, but if you don't like the people or the environment that you're in, it's going to leave a sour taste in your mouth. So my advice really is find that balance. So figure out what floats your boat, you know, make that little checklist. What is it that you really want in an ideal career? And you don't necessarily have to think about what that title is going to be, because there's so many options out there. And once you start identifying, you know, what it is that you like, I can almost guarantee that you're going to find something, right? Because you're going to start talking to people. You're going to start figuring, you know what? I do like learning about ergonomics. So you know what you're going to do? You're going to start looking up more about ergonomics. Maybe you're going to check out Pro Ergonomics and, hey, did you know that we offer a free webinar every month, right? Anybody is welcome to attend those. Learn a bit more about ergonomics. Reach out to people who are doing that. Find out their path, right? Those are, you know, network and ask and look for options too. I mean, if you are a student, the Association of Canadian Ergonomists has a student membership. There's lots of amazing resources there. There's opportunities for networking. There's webinars. You know, if you are pursuing ergonomics, right, obviously I'm speaking to that, but there's lots of opportunities, right, to network and learn more, because it can be really overwhelming if you don't really know where to go, but it doesn't hurt to ask, right? Worst case is somebody doesn't reply to your email or your LinkedIn message. Best case is they, you know, set you up with an amazing connection and it leads to something. You got to try.
For sure.
Yeah.
No, awesome. Those are very awesome words that people will kind of take value from. And in what we hear a lot on the show here is you really just have to stick to what you like to learn about and kind of go from there, because you don't know what kind of opportunities may present themselves. And being open and putting yourself out there is very important to one, network, but also see what opportunities are available. And especially now in this day and age, it's more than ever easier to find information on different things, whether that's free webinars, whether that's websites or associations. The internet is an awesome place to find a lot of information, and the same as this podcast, I hope people will use this as a springboard or platform to kind of look into other areas that maybe they didn't know existed or were interested in, and they now have someone that they can kind of talk to. Be like, hey Sarah, I listened to your podcast, like, you're awesome, like, I'm interested in this. And it kind of gives them a leeway or headway into a conversation instead of just a cold email like, hi, I'm so and so at the school looking at this, right? So what I want to do here is just say thank you. Thank you so much for coming on the show today. You're an awesome guest. You shared so much value in terms of stuff I didn't know a lot about being a certified professional ergonomist, and kind of your great story, how you found your niche, what you liked, even though you didn't really like it at first when you saw it in your biomechanics class, but you're able to kind of not totally throw it under the bus, and you learn to like it. And that's what I hope a lot of people are able to do, is find something that kind of connects the dots. And as long as you're goal oriented, you can kind of achieve those goals at the end of the day. So I just want to say thank you so much for coming on the show.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm really, really all about wanting to help inspire other students, right? If you want to go into kin or not, absolutely. I know that, again, that's how I got here, right? Is by other people answering my many, many questions that I had. So again, it's all about learning, right? I will say that I didn't think that I was interested in ergonomics the first time I heard about it, but I definitely didn't look at it with an open enough mind, right? I didn't understand how it could be applied in different settings, right? And that was, I just needed to learn. And
No, for sure. And yeah, I know I had a lot of students ask me if I was going to do an ergonomist. So I'm happy that I was able to kind of get this under my belt. And I'm sure there'll be a lot of students that'll kind of reach out to you.
Yeah, there's a lot of leeway. There's a new program too up at Fanshawe College too. So there's a lot more. I mean, ergonomics is growing. I love it. I love it because ergonomics isn't so much of a foreign word anymore. It's definitely not when I say ergonomics. And as much as people still think I do office ergonomics, there's a lot more people that understand that it is more than that. So it's good. Awesome.
So where can the listeners find you then? Is the best, I know you're on LinkedIn. So I'll make sure to share your LinkedIn in the show notes here and any other information that you'd like to share with the guests.
Go ahead. Oh, okay. Yeah, the website. Great spot. I mean, if you're looking to talk with me or any of the other, any of my business partners or my other teammates, we're proergonomics.ca, and we do free webinars every month, so you're always welcome to tune in. You can just register online on our website, and we are on other social media platforms. LinkedIn is probably our main one, but you will find ProErgonomics on Facebook, Twitter, and newly Instagram. So a new platform that we're working on.
Nice. I did get a bunch of likes on the Making Connections podcast.
I don't go on it as often as I did, but I went on and I was like, okay, I need to get ready that I'm going to be on this podcast, and that's a social media thing. And so I went on to I was looking you up on all of the different platforms. So Instagram's a bit of a newer one. But LinkedIn's probably our main one. It's probably where we do most of our business networking, right? Because we're a business to business organization. So a lot of people are on LinkedIn for work purposes.
For sure. Awesome. That makes sense. Mm-hmm. So lastly, I just want to say thank you to all the listeners. So thanks for taking your time out today to listen to this full episode. I look forward to releasing more podcast interviews in the near future. If you know of any other registered kinesiologists that would be an awesome fit for this podcast, you can email me at makingconnections@gmail.com. Also, any other comments, questions, concerns can be directed at our LinkedIn or Facebook page. Both are at Making Connections Podcasts. Links, like I said, for everything will be in the show notes at the very end. And again, thank you for listening and have a great day. Stay safe out there from the Making Connections team.
I want to thank everyone for listening today. I really appreciate you taking the time out to listen to the entire full podcast. If you liked what you listened to today and want to hear more, please subscribe to the Making Connections podcast on whichever platform you're listening on now. And remember to like us on Facebook and LinkedIn pages.